Good morning. Will you kindly greet one another and say good morning. Welcome to CCF. To those in the overflow room, we welcome you. If you are our guest, if you are here for the first time, we have a special guest room for you. We give you free coffee, free counseling, and free cookies for guests only. But if you bring them, you're most welcome. We have pastors to pray for you. Sometimes after the message, you feel you like to talk to somebody. You want somebody to pray for you. You go to that room. We have pastors waiting for you. This morning, I find this a great privilege to talk to you again about the book of Philippians. We have been discussing the book of Philippians. It's about joy. Did you bring your Bible with you? All right. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We shall continue our discussion on the book of Philippians. The entire book is about joy. Remember, 19 times you have the word joy, rejoice. And 16 times you have the word mind, thinking. It's interconnected. Right thinking will produce right feeling. Let's look at the Bible, everybody. Philippians chapter 1. If you don't mind, I want you to stand up. No problem. Since I've been standing up for hours, so it's good for you to stand up also. Praise God. Philippians chapter 1, let's read that together. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope. I shall not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose. I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. That too from God. For to you it has been granted, for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning that we can worship you. We thank you for the privilege of singing. We thank you for the privilege of reading your word. And we thank you for the freedom that we can listen, gather together with one heart. We commit to you this worship service, that our hearts will be drawn closer to you, that we will listen to you, and that our lives will be transformed. We pray once again for our country. Lord, with one heart, we pray that you will change this country for good. We pray for our leaders, the judiciary, the military, the executive, especially for our president and her cabinet members. Give her wisdom. And Lord, should they be making wrong decisions, will you just override their decisions? We believe in your sovereign power in your own time. You will show your mighty power in transforming this country. So we look up to you. We pray for your people that we will do our part. We will not be discouraged. We pray for your people, those who are hurting financially, especially during this time of high oil prices, high commodity prices. Give us wisdom. Give us the right attitude to live simply, to be humble, to be contented in what we have. Give us the principle of following you. And I pray for those who are hurting emotionally, that today's message will also speak to all of us. Teach me what to say, what not to say. We dedicate to you the future of CCF. Once again, we thank you for the building project. We thank you for the architect. We now pray for the quantity surveyor, the value engineers, as they go through this project, that the final costing will be in accordance to what you would like us to do. Give us wisdom and continue to bless your people as they give sacrificially, as they give willingly. This is my prayer, Lord Jesus, that if possible, this project will be started, will start this year. So give all of us the right attitude, the right motivation. Will you continue to bless your people as we learn to trust you? We commit to you the rest of today's service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Philippians is a book on joy. So the outline this morning is very simple. The Secrets of Real Joy, Part 2. We will talk about joy is the byproduct of right thinking. Joy is the byproduct of putting Christ first. And joy is a byproduct of helping others. And joy is the byproduct of holy living. Remember that song? Jesus, others, and you. That's the outline. Right thinking. You have right priority. Putting Jesus first. Number 2, joy is the byproduct of helping others. And then, it's a byproduct of holy living. Now, just a quick review. The book of Philippians is telling us to be joyful. Everybody, read Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things, again, is no trouble to me. It is a safeguard for you. Notice, the Bible repeats again and again, you are to be joyful. Notice Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I will say, rejoice. The issue is not to be joyful when good things are happening. The issue is to be joyful all the time. Do you understand the issue? Is this a suggestion or a command? Louder. Command. Christians, we are to be joyful all the time. That's the problem. Everybody read this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. God wants us to be joyful all the time. When you serve Him, be joyful. Some people are serving the Lord, but they are usually serving like they are serving in the funeral service. Understand? You got to serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible tells us, come before Him with joyful singing. You sang this morning, yes or no? Were you joyful? Praise God, you were joyful. God looks at the heart. God is saying, I want you to be joyful. Why? Because of all that I've done for you. Now, the problem is this. Most people don't understand the whole issue about joy. Everybody read this. The kingdom of God is not eating, it is not drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Most of us, we focus on righteousness. Praise God, we are to be righteous. But beyond righteousness, the Bible tells us, beyond peace is the whole issue of joy. Are you joyful? All right, turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to be joyful. The Christian, everybody, let's read this quotation from Tozer. The Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. How in the world are you going to have a good testimony? How in the world are we going to attract people to Jesus if we are not different? And how are we to be different? One way is to be different joyfully. You see, everybody has problems. Yes or no? Good people have problems. Bad people have problems. The difference is this. In the midst of problem, are you different? You owe it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. Let's read this quotation. The bottom line for you and for me is simply this. Grimness is not a Christian virtue. There are no sad saints. If God really is the center of one's life and being, joy is inevitable. If we have no joy, we have missed the heart of the good news. Christians, listen to me. It is not optional. You are to be joyful. If you are not joyful, you have not understood the good news. For some people, the good news is an intellectual exercise. For some people, it's of the heart. I believe all of you, when you came to Christ, you were joyful, yes or no? But somehow there's a leak. You began to lose your joy. And that's why it's good to have the book of Philippians. I want to teach you, to help you, to bring that joy and to sustain that joy which is from God. Do you see this chart? This is a patented CCF chart. Okay, Ron? Patented. Now, you see this chart. On one line, you have expectations. All of us have expectations. Do you understand? When you were single, what was your expectation? To be single for the rest of your life. For some, you want to get married. Doesn't matter. You have expectations. When you are in your job, your expectations. You want to be promoted. You want to be financially secure. Wonderful. Now, there's another line. It's called reality. Many times, your expectations and reality do not match. The big gap is called disappointment. And many people lose their joy. because their expectations and their current reality do not match. You allow people to rob you of your joy. Example, when people get married, they have certain expectations. I want my husband to be like this. I want my wife to be like this. Yes or no? That's why you got married. You wanted to experience joy and happiness. Now, after you got married, what happened? Praise God. If you understand the Bible, you became happier. For most people, my goodness, in Tagalog, ano ba ito? Expectations and reality don't match. So what do? For some people, they decide, I will no longer have expectation. That is not biblical. God wants you to have lots of expectations. But the problem is this. You got to learn to surrender your expectations to the Lord. It has to be biblical. Most of us, because we don't want to be disappointed anymore, we have developed a negative mindset. Because your reasoning is very simple. If I have expectations, I will be disappointed. And since I will be disappointed, I will not have expectations anymore. That's wrong. Don't forget your dreams. Continue to dream for the Lord. Understand? Don't say it's hopeless. But then what do you do with your reality? I suggest, your reality is not always real. You need to learn to see things from God's perspective. Because many times, what is true today may not always be true in the future. I was reading a Chinese proverb, a Chinese parable about the importance of right thinking, expectations. It talks about a father who loved horses. One day he lost one of his favorite horses. It's a white stallion. The neighbor came. The neighbor said, "Oh, sir, I'm sorry you lost your horse. Too bad, too bad." The father said, "It may be bad, it may not be bad." He sent his son to look for the horse. The son came back, did not find the horse. In fact, he broke his leg in the process of looking for the horse. The neighbor came, "Oh, sir, too bad, too bad. You did not find the horse, and your son broke his leg." The father said, "It may be bad, it may not be bad." Well, in a short while, there was war. In the war, the government decided to conscript, to get all able young men to join the army. Well, this son of his could not join the army. His leg was broken. At the end of the war, many did not come back. They died. At the end of the war, the white horse came back. When the horse came back, the horse brought many other horses. So it can be bad. It may not be bad. Depends. Understand? It is not what happens that matters most. It is how I react to what happens to me. And that's why I want you to learn something. Joy is right thinking. Say that with me. Right thinking. Number two, joy is a byproduct of what? Putting God first, Christ first. And then it's a byproduct of what? Helping others. Second, and then what is the last one? Joy is the byproduct of living a holy life. Now, look at this verse. It is not dependent on circumstances. Everybody, can you read Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, 18? Though the fig tree should not blossom, there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, though there be no cattle in the stalls, in modern English, though there be no food in the refrigerator, though there be no gas in the car, what will you do in verse 18? Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, the test of spiritual maturity is the ability to be joyful in spite of circumstances. So what do you do? You see this chart one more time? I suggest you surrender your expectations to the Lord. I suggest you surrender your disappointments to the Lord. And I suggest you surrender your reality to the Lord. Because God has the power to change your reality. Yes or no? God has the power to reveal to you your expectations. Many times it's too low. Friends, if you understand the heart of God, what does that tell you about God if He wants you to be joyful? Tell me. What does that tell you about our Savior when He wants you to be joyful? Tell me. What kind of God do we have? If He wants you to be joyful, tell me. Is He a good God or a bad God? A good God. He wants you to share His joy. We have a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God. But Satan does not want you to believe that God is good. Because the Bible tells us there is a warfare that's ongoing. And this warfare is very real. I'm going to share this with you in a short while for review. What's the message today? The Secrets of Real Joy, Part 2. Okay, Part 2. Last week, what did we discuss? Part 1. Remember the memory verse last week? Philippians 1:6. What is Philippians 1:6? Do you recall this verse? Everybody, let's read this. For I am confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you will what? Will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us there are no accidents. God began a good work in you. It's a good work. He will complete it. Sometimes you feel like you want to give up. Sometimes you feel tired in the Christian life. God is saying, don't worry. I began a good work in you. I will complete it. Now, in the process of completion, He will use circumstances. He will use people. So don't allow robbers. These are the robbers of your joy. What are the robbers of your joy? People. They will disappoint you. Circumstances, they will disappoint you. But God will use people, God will use circumstances to complete the work in your life. What is another robber? This morning I will introduce to you two new robbers. One is called worry. It will rob you of your joy. By the way, what is worry? Very simple. Worry is wrong thinking. My daughter, we had a nice walk last night. And she was telling us about somebody in a foreign country that had a heart transplant. And after the heart transplant, the guy developed brain tumor, like cancer. And then she was telling me the problem of this fellow. You know, as I was thinking of this fellow, I began to be depressed. You know why? I discovered wrong thinking will lead to what? Wrong feeling. So I told my daughter, I said, honey, please realize, not because I don't want to listen to you. As you are talking to me, I'm going to talk back to you. Okay, I'm going to talk back to you. I will teach you spiritual basketball. She said, now, do you know what is spiritual basketball? When I hear bad news, listen to me. I guarantee you, if you meditate on bad news, eventually you will become what? Depressed. Yes or no? You try. You think of the worst news. All right? Just think about it for 1 hour. I'm sure we have friends. Cancer. We have friends whose family is a mess. We have friends who are financially hurting. Yes or no? Now, you just think of these things. Meditate on them. Then you think of the future. The price of oil is going to escalate to $200. So just think about that. And think about how expensive it is to drive a car from here to Mega Mall, okay? Just that short distance, okay? You might as well walk. Okay? You think of all the potential problems. I guarantee you, as you think about these things, you begin to what? Worry. And you begin to be depressed. So what is a spiritual basketball? Every time I hear bad news, I tell my daughter, okay, I'm going to throw this to Jesus now. Understand? When I hear bad news, I give it to Jesus. Understand? Now the problem with you, you don't know what is spiritual basketball. You know what you like to do? After you give it to Jesus, after a while, oh Lord, give it back to me. And then you hold on this worry and you love to think about it. Oh, it is so nice to be miserable. You know, the world is really sad. The world is bad. And people are sinful. You know, as you think about these things, listen to me. It's going to affect your emotion. So what do you do? People don't realize it is very scriptural. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You got to guard what goes on in your mind. And that is why Satan does not want you to study the Bible. Because once you know the truth, once truth will confront wrong thinking will go. So many people don't know the truth. And that's why they never experience real joy. Everybody, one more time. The outline. Number one, the secrets of real joy. Joy is the product of right thinking. Okay, tell that to your neighbor, right thinking. You must think right. Number two, joy is the byproduct of putting Christ first. Remember that song? Jesus and others and you. That's enough. Christ first. Others. The byproduct of helping others. Okay? And then the last one is the byproduct of holy living. You see that in the book of Philippians. Alright, are you ready? Now, I want to tell you something. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. Everybody? Are we ready to dive into the Bible? Philippians 1:18. What then? Only in every way, in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. In this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Paul is telling us, I will not allow people, I will not allow circumstances to rob me of my joy. I will rejoice. That's called correct thinking. I will rejoice in the Lord. Notice verse 18. For I know this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. These are all positive statements. The word deliverance, this has to do with positive thinking. His deliverance is not based on wishful thinking. It is based on the prayers of God's people. The Apostle Paul believed in the power of prayer. I tell you, never be so big that you are too proud to ask people to pray for you. I always ask people to pray for me. By the way, if you appreciate the ministry of CCF, I suggest you pray for me. Pray for all your pastors. We need your prayer. And then Paul tells us, look at verse 19. I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit. Do you understand that word, provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Paul is saying, I am dependent on the provision. That word provision comes from an amazing word. It describes a very rich man supporting a whole choir. It is a description of a rich man supporting a theater, actors, actresses in the time of Paul. Abundant supply. You provide the uniform. You provide the food. You provide the allowances. In other words, Paul is saying, the Lord Jesus will more than provide for all my needs. It is a hope anchored on the reality of the power of God, prayer and dependence. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation. Notice, that's a word for what? Right thinking. Earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul was so focused on the reality of life. I want to exalt Christ in my life, whether I live or I die. Notice his expectation. It is very biblical. The best will surely happen. You know why? That word, earnest expectation. Do you see that word, earnest expectation? Earnest expectation. This is an amazing word in the original language. It's composed of three small words. First, it means what? To turn away. The second word is the head. To look up. The third word is to look. What Paul is saying is this. I refuse to look at any other thing but to focus my eyes on what God is going to do. You see, what you focus on is going to impact the way you think. So Paul is saying, this is my earnest expectation. What is his earnest expectation? Look at his heart. Whether I live, whether I die, it does not matter as long as God is glorified in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, is that the desire of your heart? You want to be joyful? There's no shortcut. Right thinking. Christ first. Attitude is a matter of deciding whether the cup is half full or empty. Too often, we look at life seeing only what we don't have, rather than being thankful for what is ours. You got to have right thinking. For example, this week, my son-in-law came from the States. Now, would you believe it? He missed his flight. Does that sound familiar in CCF? It must be genetics, huh? I don't know. He missed his flight. He was fined $500. He cannot leave that day. You know why? By the time he arrived in the airport, the plane took off because there was an accident on the road. Now, he could have been miserable. $500. But you know, right thinking is very important. Putting Christ first. He began to ask himself, Lord, there must be a reason. Then he remembered, God is saying, I want you here. I want you to spend one more day with your cousins, with your relatives. And he began to share the gospel clearly with his relatives, with his family members. Something bad became something what? Good. Provided you think properly. You see, he could have been angry. He could have been bitter. He could have been focused on $500. Let me ask you, what is $500 compared to somebody who comes to know the Lord and the whole family coming to know the Lord? Let me ask you. By the way, that experience happened to me also years ago. I was in Hong Kong. My bag was checked in. I was to fly. Would you believe it? What happened to me? Of course I missed the flight. In my mind, they will never take off if my bag is in already and I got the seat number. I realize they will take off, with or without you. If you don't believe me, you try. Yeah. But you know, when I missed that flight, again, I began to practice this truth. How can I rejoice? And I realized my aunt. I have never shared the gospel with my aunt. That day I went to my aunt. And I shared the gospel clearly with my aunt. Would you believe it? The next day when I came home, after a few weeks, my aunt passed away. I realized something. In the Christian life, there is no accident. To the child of God, everybody read this. To the child of God, there is no such thing as an accident. He travels an appointed way to the child of God. That's why you can rejoice. Because God knows what He's doing. Now listen to me. When you are disappointed, when your expectations do not match reality, is it normal to be disappointed, yes or no? Of course. It's very normal. I'm reminded of a lady who wanted to marry somebody. They've been going with this guy for some time. And before the guy would propose, something happened. He dropped the girl. Now, if you're the lady, how would you feel? Miserable. Very miserable. But can I tell you something? My other friends knew the guy. My other friend said, you need to tell this girl that her former boyfriend, the one who dropped her, that boyfriend is not good. That boyfriend is a double, triple, quadruple timer. You know what's a double timer? In Tagalog. Alam mo na. Mayroon dyan, mayroon dito. You see, sometimes we fail to realize God wants to protect us. So we get angry at Him. Don't allow robbers to steal your joy. Look at the heart of Paul. Put Christ first, the secret of joy. Everybody read this. What then? For everybody read, continue. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live on in the flesh, that will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose. I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better. Look at the mindset of the Apostle Paul. How can this guy ever lose his joy? He says, it doesn't matter. For to me, to live is what? Let's memorize this together. That's our memory verse for this week, everybody. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now listen, look at the grammar. He's not saying, I live for Christ. It's more than I live for Christ. He is saying, for to me, to live is what? Christ. For Paul, life is Christ. He lived for Christ, he served Christ, everything is Christ. And then to die is what? Or I say that with me, memorize it. Philippians 1:21. Everybody, Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is a universal law. It doesn't matter where you are. If you change the equation, for to me, to live is something else. For example, what is this something else? This thing. If you live for something else, example, you live for yourself. For to me, to live is myself, to die is loss. I guarantee you that. Life is about choices. Paul is saying, for to me to live is Christ. What is he talking about? Everything about him, it is centered for Christ, for the purpose of Christ, to please Christ. Look at verse 22. If I am to live on the flesh, he's saying, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Notice, he's thinking of serving Christ. How can he lose? It's called a win-win situation. But I'm hard-pressed from both directions. Paul said, I got a problem. My desire is to be with Christ, to depart and be with Christ. That is much better. Now, can I tell you the meaning of that word, depart and be with Christ? That word, depart, is a word used in different ways in the Greek language. One is to describe soldiers removing the tent. In other words, if you are going to be stationed somewhere else, you remove the tent. Paul uses that description in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's saying our earthly bodies, we are living in the tent. Someday, the tent will be removed. We will be given a new house, a new body. So that's a beautiful word. Moving to a new station. During the Second World War, the British soldiers, when they are shot down by the Germans, they were never explained, they were never told to say, he died. They will always say, he is stationed to another outpost. They don't describe death as death. They describe it as station to another outpost. The word death, the word depart, is also used to describe sailors when they remove the anchor and the boat is going to sail home. Paul is saying to depart. I look forward to going home. That's the word for departure. It's also used by farmers when they remove the yoke of the oxen. When you remove the yoke of the oxen, that's the word depart. You remove the yoke. Paul is saying, this is going to be a privilege. I don't have to suffer in the flesh anymore. I don't have to be beaten up by people. I don't have to be misunderstood by people. I'm going home. But you see, Paul is saying, but notice, before I tell you, let's read this, everybody. I submit to you, if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he is not fit to live. Now, let me ask you, how will you answer that question? For to me, to live is what? What will you say? Right? You fill in the blanks for me, please. For to me, to live is? To die is? For some people, that's not the answer. For some people, for to me, to live is money. And to die is to leave it all behind. Understand? I read an article about Leona Helmsley, a multi-billionaire. She recently, you know, when she passed away, she left a fortune of $8 billion. She could not take it with her, so she decided to put it in a trust. The trust is to take care of her dogs. $8 billion to take care of dogs. No wonder some people wish, I am a dog. For some people, for to me to live is, what? What will you put there? Some of you. Fame. You like fame? Can I tell you? Subconsciously, many of us are living for popularity. And that's why you are so afraid for others to know what's going on in your life. There are many Christians today, they put up a mask. They want to manage their image. May I suggest, you leave that to the PR company. Don't manage your image. The reality is this. You are very precious in the eyes of God. You don't have to impress people. Be who you really are. A child of the King. If you make a mistake, admit it. Don't pretend it did not happen. Don't try to show off. Some people, they want to wear expensive jewelry. Do you understand? Because they want to have this impression. Remember my illustration? You want to wear Rolex? Okay, let me ask you, how are you going to walk with the Rolex watch? Go like this. And then every time you are having lunch or dinner, you want to ask people, what time is it? What time is it? Oh, my watch is different. You see, if you try to impress people, listen to me. To die is what? Be forgotten. I guarantee you that. During my time, okay? Who was the greatest boxer during my time, during our time? Not this guy. This guy is called what? Pacquiao. Understand? He's very famous. Praise God. Did you watch Pacquiao last week? Blessed are those who attend the 10 o'clock service. For they shall have time to watch Manny Pacquiao at 10 o'clock, at 12 o'clock. I don't know what it is, okay? But I know God is more popular than Pacquiao last Sunday. But listen, this guy is famous. But can I tell you something? 100 years from now, I will guarantee you something. 100 years from now, many will not even know him. Why do I know this? During my time, General, during your time, this is called who? Do you know his name? Oh, how come the others don't know? How come you don't know? You know why? If you live for fame, when you die, you're going to be forgotten. This is called Flacid Lorde, a world boxing champion. Made the Filipinos proud. But the truth is this. Today, people don't even remember him. Many years from now, my children, I know they'll remember me. My grandchildren may remember me. But my great-grandchildren, I don't know. You see, I don't even remember anything about my great-grandfather. I know my father. I remember him. I know him. I know a little about my grandfather. But I know nothing of my great-grandfather. My point is this. Someday, no matter who you are, people will forget you. But God will never forget you. And that's why if you live for popularity, you live for fame, I guarantee you, to die is what? To be forgotten. What about others? For to me, to live is power. And to die is what? What's the answer? Lose it all. You know this guy? Once upon a time, the most powerful man in Iraq. But we are all mortals. For to me to live is, what's your answer? Let's fill in the blanks properly, okay? For to me to live is Christ. And then, I guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, if you live for Christ, if your life is Christ, centered on Christ, I guarantee you something. To die is what? Gain. And the truth is all of us will go through this reality. It's only a question of time. When my mother-in-law, the mother of Diana, passed away, when she was about to pass away, my father-in-law told her, Kitty, that's the name of my mother-in-law, you have a one-way ticket. You have a one-way ticket to heaven. I have a one-way ticket. But our schedule is different. You are going to go first. But I will follow soon. That's why to die is gain. You know why it's gain? It's time to be with the Lord. For the Apostle Paul, this is very real. Everybody, let's read this. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. Do you know why not many people will put this in their heart? If you know, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, there are many others who do not know. Do you know why right thinking is important and putting Christ first is very important? The Bible tells us, everybody read this, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, divinely powerful. We are destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This verse is telling us there is a war. It's called spiritual warfare ongoing today. Verse 3, we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The battleground is the mind. There is a battle ongoing right now in your mind. And many people don't realize this. And Satan would love to overcome you by wrong thinking. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us, everybody read this, we are destroying speculations, lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You are responsible for what you are thinking. Many people don't understand this principle. You allow your mind to wander. When your mind will wander, you're going to have wrong thinking. And when you have wrong thinking, you are going to have wrong behavior. The Bible says you've got to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Wrong thinking will produce wrong behavior. Why do you think many people are after money? They know they're going to die. Because in their mind, understand this, in their mind, for them, the most important thing is money. So they are governed by that mind process, mindset. They don't see the truth. You see, for some people, life is about popularity. They stop right there. Satan has deceived them. You see, all of us, all of you, you are a product of what's going on in your mind. You may not realize this. Look at your actions, look at your behavior. Behind your actions, behind your behavior, is your theology. It's your thinking. Wrong thinking will lead to what? Wrong behavior. I guarantee you that. And most of us have wrong thinking. And we don't realize this. You don't change people until you change their thinking. And many parents, many pastors, many leaders fail to understand this concept. You want to force people to change. They will not change. Young people will not change until the thinking is changed. And the thinking is only changed when they are confronted by the Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can know this in the head, but not in the heart. And that's why some people will pursue what? You will ask yourself, why are they doing this? Bakit ginagawa nila? Today, most people is after what? Young people, what are you after? Pleasure. For them, life is about pleasure. There's nothing wrong with pleasure, nothing wrong with money, nothing wrong with popularity. All of this is a gift from God, but that cannot be your primary. It should be Christ and Christ alone. Because for to me, to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. But notice what the Bible is telling us. You got to take every thought captive. You got to watch what you are thinking. For example, recently, I was in a cruise, okay, last year, when I thought I had cancer. You understand? So, I told myself, the best way, if you have cancer, is to go on a cruise. If you're going to die, you're going to die. Understand? So, my wife and I, we went to the Apostle Paul's journey. Because I was supposed to schedule one for the church, but I don't want to schedule something that I have not personally tried it. Okay? So, In that cruise, I could not find my ring. Understand? I could not find my wedding ring. So I was thinking, what kind of stewards do they have here? I mean, they even steal your ring here. I was losing my joy. Understand? I kept praying. I said, Lord, give me a chance. That's my wedding ring. Lord, please. Can I tell you what happened? I couldn't find my ring. I was about to lose my joy. And then I told myself, it's only a ring. When I come back, I'll get another ring, exactly like it. So when I came back, I opened the bag. Oh, I saw my ring. And then last Sunday, on my way to worship, I couldn't find my ring. Again, I was about to lose my joy. You know why? I was thinking, we have helpers. We take care of them. They come to CCF at 3 o'clock to worship. They join D group. They have Bible study. Why will they steal my ring? So I was about to lose my joy. Then I told myself again, you see, you got to watch what you are thinking. Why are you thinking like that? I refused. I said, I know. I cannot find my ring now, but it will appear. You know, after I brushed my teeth, after a while, boom, I saw my ring. But my whole point is this, you got to watch what you are thinking. If people don't greet you, if people don't call you, you can have two choices. To think positively, biblically. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Or you can think miserably. You can say, you know what, people don't love me. Understand? And you can feel sorry for yourself. I call this pity party. Many people, they want to have a pity party. You know what's pity party? Let's get together. Let's pity ourselves. Wah, 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 wah. Well, you know, some people, they get together. That's what they do. They talk to each other. How miserable life is. May I suggest, don't join those kind of parties. So you got to be responsible for your thought process. What are you thinking? So let me ask you, from now on, when you go through life and you have a problem, you got to watch what you are thinking. Joy is the byproduct of what? Right thinking. Number two is putting Christ first. Others second. Paul is telling us, everybody read this. Verse 21, everybody. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Notice, he tells us. In verse 22, if I am to live on in the flesh, if I keep on surviving, praise God, it's fruitful labor. Notice, to live for Christ is to serve Him. Notice, look at verse 23. But I am hard-pressed. He's saying, I really don't know what to do. Having the desire to depart, Paul is saying, I would rather depart. Can I tell you why? Let me tell you why. Most of us know this in the head, but we don't really understand the power of that statement. Paul experienced the reality of God's grace. Everybody read this. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Paul is saying, I know my condition. I am a sinner. And then Paul continues on. Paul is saying, and yet for this reason, I found mercy in order, what? As the foremost sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example of those who would believe in Him for eternal life. Paul is able to say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, because Paul understood salvation. For many people, if you are not sure of your salvation, my friends, listen to me, you cannot, in all sincerity, says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And the reason why most of us don't understand salvation, because you have never understood that once upon a time, you and I are lost. We were lost apart from Christ. Let me ask you, why do you come to Christ? If you come to Christ because you want your life to become better, that's good, but it is not good enough. You don't come to Christ just because you want your life to be better. You want to have more joy. Praise God, but that is never the real reason. The real reason you come to Christ is simply this. If you look at the Bible says all of us are sinners apart from Christ. Yes or no? Have you lied? Yes or no? If you have lied, what does that make you? A liar. Let's call it by its name. Have you stolen? Have you stolen anything? Louder. What does that make you? A thief. A robber. So what are you? A liar and a thief. My goodness! If you are a liar and a thief, how will you go to heaven? You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, I'm the chief of sinners. Once upon a time, God opened my eyes to see that I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I knew my destiny. The good news became good news because I knew the bad news. The bad news is Peter is a sinner And Peter is separated from Christ. And Peter is destined for damnation. You see, heaven is not a right for me. Heaven today is a gift. Heaven to me is a privilege. But I don't deserve it. Because I experience the grace of God and the mercy of God. And that is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, once upon a time, I'm the chief of sinners. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. What does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16? For this reason, I found what? Mercy. Until you realize the Lord Jesus has given you eternal life and all your sins were paid for by virtue of the cross. He died for you. And you realize that apart from Jesus, you are completely lost. Nothing to do with your good works. Friends, you will not embrace Jesus because you have not understood the lostness of your soul. Paul tells us, I know the reality of the grace of God. You know why? He said, I know a man in Christ. 14 years ago, Paul is now writing his own experience. Such a man was caught up in the third heaven. Now, what is the third heaven? People ask me. Very simple. The first heaven is our atmosphere. The second heaven is where your telescopes, the Hubble telescope, as far as your eyes can see, it's above the atmosphere. And our telescope can see billions of light years away. Understand? Billions of light years. You want to go to this star Alpha Centauri, you know, 4 light years away, whatever, okay? It's far. But what is the third heaven? The third heaven is a reality, but physical eyes cannot see. When the Russian cosmonaut went to the space, the Russian cosmonaut, the atheist, says, there is no God. I don't see God. But when the criminal on the cross died, the criminal on the cross, when he died, what did Jesus tell the criminal? Today, you shall be with me where? In paradise. Instantaneously. You don't have to wait for light years. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Well, paradise is the reality. Look at this verse. I was caught up in paradise, and I heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. As it is written, everybody read this. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. For the Apostle Paul, the reality of heaven, the reality of paradise, is very, very real in his life. He saw this. And that's why he's different. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to realize, as a child of God, you have inside information. Inside information that the people of the world don't have. And that's why they act differently. People outside the covenant family of God, who do not know the truth, you have to understand, they are only acting based on their knowledge. And that knowledge is usually not true. Because Satan is a deceiver. But you have inside information. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, had a similar experience. Everybody read this. Everybody, Revelation 21 verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is what I call reality. Reality that your eyes don't see. For the first heaven and the first earth pass away. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, He shall dwell among them, they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. The reality of the future, face to face with Jesus, face to face with God. Look at the next verse, verse 4. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Notice the Bible says, someday, some Christians will cry. Why will you cry? For some Christians, perhaps, it's the tears of regret. I should have done this. I should not have done this. But look at the comfort. The comfort is this, verse 4. He shall wipe away what? Every tear from their eyes. God is going to be able to comfort you. And then what? Look at the next verse. There shall no longer be what? Any death. There shall no longer be any what? Mourning or crying or pain. The first have passed away. Until you understand this reality, my friend, you will have a hard time saying, for to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. You know why? You don't know what you're gaining. So why will you give your all to Jesus? You need to understand, for the Apostle Paul, these are realities. The reality of the forgiveness of sin. The reality of being with Jesus. The reality of the glorious destiny of God's people. No more crying, no more pain. In fact, the Bible tells us, He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Right. For these words are faithful and true. And he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. When my mother passed away, the pastor gave this message, Revelation chapter 21. And I never forgot that message. Because in the midst of sadness, you can have joy. Do you understand? Joy does not mean there is no sadness. But in the midst of sadness, in the midst of pain, you experience a joy that is indescribable. As I grew older, I'm still young, understand? As I grow older, I have been to many funeral services. Friends, until you understand, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. You will never embrace this truth. Now let me ask you a question. What are you living for? For Paul, right thinking, Christ first. And I discovered life is a choice. You have a choice. Today, nobody can force you to live for Christ. But I guarantee you something. You don't live for Christ, whatever you answer you put there, to die is lost. I can guarantee you that. If you don't live for Christ, to die is lost for you. You don't have to suffer loss. But it's your choice. The Bible is very clear. Everybody, let's read the last part. For to me, to live is what? Christ. To die is gain. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliot, he was massacred in Ecuador for the sake of Christ. But he said he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that what he cannot lose. My friend, it's all about perspective, right thinking. Don't let anyone steal your joy. If it's money, it's only money. You live for Christ. Look at the mindset of Paul. Live for others. For to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. I am convinced of this, I know I shall remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, look, I want to be with the Lord, but I know that God wants me still here. You know why? To serve you. Look at verse 25. I shall remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy. With that mindset, how in the world can the Apostle Paul ever lose his joy? How can you make this guy unhappy? He's willing to face the worst fear of his life. What do we worry most about? The future. What do we worry most about? Death. For the Apostle Paul, I'm not afraid of the future. God is in control of the future. I'm not afraid of death, because for me, death is what? For to me to live is life, and to die is gain. Now, can you honestly say tonight, today, for to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. See, Paul is living for others. He's saying, hey, I want you guys to grow up. I want you to progress. Only what? Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. So that whether I come, I see you, or remain absent, notice. Win-win. Whether I come or whether they kill me, can I tell you, historically speaking, the Apostle Paul was released in prison. But a few years later, he went back to prison and they, what did they do to him? They cut off his head. But Paul was released from prison. He was correct. I will be released to serve you more. But then look at his heart. Only, everybody read, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come, I see you, or I remain, does not matter, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you know what he's saying? To live worthy of Jesus, you should not quarrel among yourselves. You should be united. The word with one mind is striving together. That word striving together is from your Greek word athlete. It's athletic word. Paul is saying you do your best. You sweat it out. You got to be together. Now let me ask you, are we together in our mission, yes or no? In CCF, you got to understand our mission. What is the mission of CCF? What are we striving for? Please look at the overhead. Look. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. What's our mission statement? To make disciples, to make disciples. That's our mission, to evangelize, make disciples. And Paul is saying, I want all of you, look at verse 27, I want all of you to stand firm together with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's all about the good news of Jesus. You fight for the truth, the faith, once for all delivered to the saints of God. You must be willing to die for the truth of the gospel. Notice the next verse. in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, is a sign of salvation. The reality is this. When you live for Jesus, will there be opposition? Yes or no? When there's opposition, you should say, praise God. It's the proof of my salvation. That's what he's saying. Don't be afraid of opposition. Many people have this wrong idea. If I come to Christ, I will no longer have any problem. Is that true? Will you honestly say, in the midst of problem, God is going to do something good, yes or no? Is problem good or bad? Tell me. You can only answer yes or no. Is problem good for Christian? Louder. Look at this verse. For your sake, it has been granted for Christ's sake. To you, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict as you saw in me and now here to be in me. What is Paul saying? The Bible is telling us suffering is a privilege. It is a gift. The same word, to you it has been granted. It's a gift. To believe in Jesus is a gift. To suffer for His sake is a what? It's a privilege. It's a gift. Do you like this gift? Or do you like return to sender? Can I tell you something? I don't like this gift. But let me ask you a question. What benefit will come out of the Christian community when they are suffering? Just give me an example of the benefits. Number one, I cannot hear you. What benefit? Can I tell you? Many times, God will allow suffering to change our desire. For some people, praise God, they are blessed materially. You are blessed physically. You are blessed with lots of money, with lots of nice toys. But can I tell you something? Sometimes He will allow suffering to open your eyes, to let you know that this world is not your home. Suffering has a way of opening your eyes to see the reality that we are never destined for this world. Can I tell you something? Today, when I wake up in the morning, I have this slight pain in my back. So I went to see my doctor. Praise God. I have so many doctors here, okay? You have Glenn, you have Ali Ling, you have Nakpil, so many doctors. But you know what they tell me? It's called old age. I don't like that. I was hoping, you know, they can do something about it. They want to give me painkiller. I say, I don't want painkiller. It's a good reminder. When I wake up in the morning, you are mortal. My mind has to be reminded. I am not meant to live in this world forever. This world is just what? A temporal place. I am just passing through. So, suffering has its benefits. For example, suffering will clean the church. It will sanitize the church. That's how churches in China grew. Because in the midst of persecution, all the counterfeit Christians left the church. All the true Christians will continue. They don't mind suffering. So suffering has a way of cleansing the ranks of believers. If you look at church history, you will notice churches that are persecuted, they grow the fastest. Suffering has a way of cleansing our character. So suffering is not always bad. Do you understand? But what's the message? The message is this. Joy is a byproduct of what? Everybody, number one, right thinking. Number two, putting Christ first. And number three, helping others. And number four, he's saying, live a righteous life. Don't be afraid. Now, I'm going to show you a video of the importance of unity. Do you understand? Because Paul is concerned for believers. He wanted to help them. This video will show you, I don't know if you have seen this video, it's a very short video, I think almost a minute only. It talks about a group of buffalo, and there are lions hiding. The lions is going to attack the buffalo. Have you seen this video? And I'm reminded of the Bible. The Bible says the lions, the devil is like a roaring lion. And you will see this in the video. And when they attack the buffalo, their strategy is to divide and conquer. And then they will run after the weakest buffalo. Just like Satan today, he wants to divide and conquer. He wants churches to be fighting. He wants believers to be fighting. You have forgotten the real enemy. The real enemy is out there, not in here. Understand? In here, we love each other. So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, we love each other. And then out there, tell them, we love them also. Okay? Out there, tell them, we love them also. Understand? But in this movie, you will notice something. The most amazing thing happened. The buffaloes united. Amazing. To save a baby buffalo. Wow, are you ready to see the video? Or do you want me to show that to you next week? Okay, let's show them the video.
can get in this. He's living already.
Oh my God.
Can I grab the baby?
Oh my God.
She's going, the baby.
She's going for him. She's going for him. Can they help him now, Frank?
No, yeah, they can't.
He's a crocodile, baby.
Oh, look at those. You don't know. You're too late.
Whoa.
Good. He's right. Kicking at him.
Look at him run. Big boy.
You got the lion on him, run. The calf's still alive.
It is?
Yeah, it's trying to get away. It's standing up.
If buffaloes are learning the power of unity, what about God's people? Do you like the video? You see the principle? Divided, we'll bring this honor to the Lord. If we are together, and that's the heart of Paul. Christ first. I want to help the believers that they learn to work and strive together for the faith of the gospel. Don't fight with each other. Our real enemy is the devil. Let's read this together. Your living is determined not so much by what life brings you as by the attitude you bring to life. Not so much by what happens to you as by the way your mind looks at what happens. Circumstances, situations do color life, but you have been given the mind to choose what the color shall be. Years ago, we have a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. When Fanny Crosby was young, the doctor mistreated her eyes. She became blind. When she became blind, she could have become bitter. She could have become angry. They could have sued the doctor, but she did not. At a very young age, she understood the meaning of trusting the Lord. She wrote 8,000 hymns. One of those hymns we sang this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Another famous hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. That's written by Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby became the most famous woman in America during her lifetime. She met different presidents. She was asked one day, would you have wished that you could have seen, your eyes can see? You know what she said? This is what she said. She said, if God were to give me the gift of eyesight again, I will probably tell him, no, thank you. Why? They asked her. She said, in my blindness, I could see things that people with eyes don't see. And she said, the first person she will see will be Jesus. This girl lived for Jesus. Notice what she said. At the age of less than 10 years old, she wrote this. Everybody read this. Blind but happy. Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep, to sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Friends, you got to see the heart of God. There are no accidents in your life. You need to learn that love relationship with Jesus so that you can honestly say at the end of your life, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. God loves you. He died for you. What more do you want? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Are you satisfied with Jesus? You know my prayer. All of us, we will be so satisfied with Jesus that nothing else will sidetrack us. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Let's bow our heads. Perhaps there may be some of us here today, you have never experienced the assurance of forgiveness. You have never understood that Jesus died on the cross in order for your sins to be completely forgiven. Today, I'd like to give you this opportunity to repent of our sins, to repent of your sins, and say something like this to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I realize you died on the cross in my behalf. I realize that apart from you, I cannot experience forgiveness. I cannot experience salvation. Today, I repent of my sins. I put my confidence in you and in you alone. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Will you pray that prayer once again, quietly, wherever you are? You ask Jesus to be your Savior. You tell Him, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you promised me If I live for you, to die is gain. Father God, I thank you for the great privilege of being your children, of being your child. I thank you that you died on the cross, that all of us might have life. And I thank you that you are reminding us that the secret of joy is to live for you. For to us, for to me, to live is Christ. And to die, Lord Jesus, is gain. Help us to realize there is no better way than to live for you. I pray for those who are struggling, for those who are caught in the bondage of sin, for those who are struggling with bad habits. Lord, will you remind them that you are more than enough to solve our problem. You are more than enough to help us go through life. And Lord Jesus, give us that hunger, that passion to live for you, to say for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.